It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shot Podcast, episode 372, and I am your host, Adam Mangum. Yoeli Childs is back in the fold, and Matt and I discuss what that means for the Cougars next year. And 6 months after the fact, Matt and I reveal our five levels of college football hell. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shot Podcast. Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout, and listen to us right now. We're going to jump right into the tweet bag.
Tweet bag. What? What was that sound I just made?
I don't know. You want to try that again? Or you...
I was practicing that trumpet thing, and I'm all confused.
Yeah, your sound effects are all
just
crossed
just
over.
Just gloss over it. Just gloss over it. Nobody's going to even notice.
Don't cross the streams, Matt. Total particle reversal. All right. Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney.
That's at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter. And you can tweet at us at BYU_RiseShout. He says, I met two fellow listeners on Sunday, guessing at church. Maybe it was randomly on the street, but...
happened to us before.
Yeah, that's true. And he can confirm that more than Mangum family members, myself, and Fast Break GP, Gary Payne, listen to this podcast.
Well, we've got at least two other people.
Shout out to Joel and Katie from San Diego, hashtag tweetbag. Shout out to Joel and Katie from San Diego.
Shout out, Joel and Katie. What is up?
I can't believe there are other people that listen. Actually, I know that because I can see the statistics. Not specifically. Don't think we're creepy.
Statistics.
Well, Matt might be creepy, but in general.
Oh, I'm definitely creepy. I whispered a little bit last week. It was a little uncomfortable.
A little uncomfortable.
I was listening to the podcast on my way to work the next day. I was in a very complicated traffic merging situation, and I heard myself whispering. It was really disconcerting.
Wow, this whole line of conversation is disconcerting. So let's go into the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. The BYU broadcast schedule, or most of it, is set, Matt. So let's look at this a little bit. We've got, according to multiple sources, and if you go to FBS Schedules, which is like the best place on earth.
The best place on earth. I feel like that's a little overstated, but that's fine.
Yeah, well, whatever. They've got the helmets.
You need to get out more.
You need to get out. All right. So Utah, which I think we already knew, right, that was that late Thursday night game to start the season. Tennessee was announced a 7 p.m. Eastern start, which makes it a reasonable start, which is nice to have a couple of those. 3:30 midday game that's either on ABC or ESPN2, depending on how good USC and we are at that moment. And then Washington, we know it'll be on ESPN, no time announced. The only other ones where we know for certain, well, here's a couple of interesting things I thought. The Liberty game is going to be on an ESPN network, not BYU TV. That's a little shocking to me.
Yeah, I don't even know what to do with that.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with that either. No surprise, the Idaho State game will be on BYU TV. So, shocker there. And then the San Diego State game on the road to end the season is a 9 p.m. Eastern start. Again, so far we have no crazy late starts. I think that'll probably end up changing. But as of this moment...
The Liberty game that's on ESPN? You don't think it's going to end up with like a 9:30 p.m. kickoff?
No. I bet you that is a midday kickoff.
They don't play them in the day anymore.
They don't do it. Boise State is also going to be on an ESPN network as well. No shocker there. No time announced.
Boise, it's not actually a state Broncos?
That is correct. That is correct. Wait a second. Boise's not a state?
It's a state of mind.
It is a state of mind. There's no doubt of that. Sweeney makes his second tweetbag appearance already.
Wow, and he brought friends the first time. What's he bringing this time?
This time he's bringing a question, Matt.
All right.
He's looking forward to the 2019 schedule. What is your game most people think we will win that we will end up losing game? The game most people think we will lose, we will win game. And best game no one is talking about. For me, meaning Justin, the game most people think we're going to win, we're going to lose, is at Toledo. the game most people think we will lose that we will win is at home against USC. And then the best game no one is talking about is at San Diego State or at home against Boise. I kind of feel like you got to take that Boise game out. Everyone's always talking about the Boise game, right? So I don't think that qualifies for that last category. Matt?
Oh, because that's the one I was going to list for the last category.
Really?
Oh, for sure. I mean, everybody's all fired up about this September run, right? Like, you got Utah, Tennessee, USC, Washington. You got the Utah State game on the road. I mean,
okay.
I feel like there's a lot of games on this schedule that get talked about before you get to Boise and out of state.
You and Mr. Sweeney have convinced me. Mr. Justin Sweeney Esquire. And
Sweeney's
Matt.
An attorney. That's what he does. He convinces for a living.
That's right. So Matt, in that first category, what game is your most people think we will win and we will lose game? Or could lose. I'm not going to say will lose.
The most people think we will win, but we could lose? San Diego State.
That's a good choice. I like his choice of at Toledo. That's probably mine as well. All right.
Yeah.
So the next category he had was game most people think we will lose, we will win.
Book it. Washington Huskies.
Oh, that's bold. That's bold. I was going to say at Tennessee. I don't think most people think we're going to lose against USC. I think that's probably pretty split at this point because USC was mediocre and had some question marks.
We're going to get that whole coaching staff fired.
I think we've done that before. At Tennessee, like on the road, SEC team, Tennessee's not great, but they're not bad, right? I don't know. I think that's one where I think people are already just saying we're going to lose that one. And then the last category was best game no one is talking about. You already have declared your love for the Boise State one. I think the one that people aren't talking about that's super exciting is Idaho State. I'm totally kidding. It's that same game, Toledo.
Yeah, Toledo would have been a close second for me there as well.
It is in that September run, and I think it's getting completely overshadowed by the Power Five, four straight Power Five opponents to start the season, right?
Yep.
Which, rightfully so, right? It's not as exciting as any of those other games from a name perspective. Next item on the news list is three football wishes. So at Lawless Republic, Nathan Israelson has three wishes for this BYU football season, and these are his three wishes, Matt. Beat Utah, a 10-win regular season, and Zach Wilson is the quarterback that we hope he is. Matt, what do you think of Nathan's three wishes, and would you add any other wishes to his list?
So, beat Utah, yeah, for sure. That one would stay on my list. 10-win regular season. I think that's it's a worthy wish. Like, in terms of, like, yeah, you'd need a genie. What? That felt a little negative.
That did feel a little negative. Do you mean Aladdin?
I don't know if I went and saw Aladdin this weekend. I really enjoyed it.
Really?
It
looks
yeah.
terrible to me. And I love the original, and I have no desire to see this one in the theater.
Really?
No. It looks terrible. The ads look like it's a fan-made movie where they've, like, CGI'd Will Smith's face on a genie.
Well, that is kind of what they did, but anyway, I was entertained by it, but my cinematic palette, as we know, is not very well refined.
Did you see the Creed movies yet?
The Creed movies? You mean as opposed to the Rocky movies?
Oh my gosh.
And then his third wish here is Zach Wilson is the quarterback of the Hobies. I think this is a pretty good list if I'm going to put together three wishes. You know, I think the other one I'd do something about depth in the defensive backfield, but yeah. I'm still putting that wish together. I'm not really sure how to phrase it.
Yeah, I think they're three good wishes. So if you didn't, and the rest of his article, it's not particularly long, is worth a read at Lawless Republic. I think those are three good wishes. The next one, of course, is the big news.
Can I come back to this thing about defensive backfield for a second?
So
when we were talking about like picking players to do certain things, we came across Trevion Green quite a bit in that segment like a week ago, right?
I believe so.
So I don't know if you saw this, and I didn't mention it in our lead-in, but he's transferring.
Oh, I didn't see that. He is transferring.
He's out.
Well, take him out of all those things then.
So I just saw this on Twitter. Actually, I just saw it on Twitter tonight. But I don't spend a whole lot of, I don't spend, you know, I'm not, I don't live on Twitter, but anyway, so
on Instagram.
So I kind of do. But that's why my that third wish gets something. You got something for the defense. Something about
I think we're still fine in the defensive backfield. That is a loss, though. But I think we're still fine. Okay, next news item is the big one, which happened. Of course, these keep happening like a day or two after we record, and then, you know, it seems like it's not news anymore. But Yoeli Childs is back. Well, I guess technically never left, really. And he's gelling with Pope, according to the Deseret News and Jody Guinnessy. Sorry if I'm butchering your last name, Jody. I'm sure she listens to the podcast. At his press conference, the lead of the story is Yoeli Childs sounded like he'd been injected with truth serum when asked about how much he'd talked with Mark Pope in recent weeks, as the new BYU coach tried to convince him to return for his senior season. He said, too many conversations with Mark Pope, too many, smiling as he said it. Matt, what was your first reaction when you heard Yoeli was coming back?
I cheered. I actually cheered. I was standing in my kitchen, and I let out a cheer.
I found out from you. You texted me. I had been off of social media working and doing some stuff because, you know, I got stuff to do. And you texted me, and I was just like, what? Like, at first, I wondered, is he messing with me? But
no, I was not messing.
You were not messing. So it's pretty awesome. If we're going to play a game with the next basketball season, so some of these things I'm going to save, but this one I'll throw at you now. What factor do you think Mark Pope had to deal with this? I mean, is this a Pope thing, or is this a Childs didn't like his options thing, or is this both?
This is a Pope thing.
Okay. All right. I do have to say the article in the Des News that Jody had that announced it was a little weird, meaning they talked about like mansions and sports cars. If I've got a source that's telling me that Yoeli Childs' contract was like $200,000, which is really nice for a college kid, right? But that's not by mansions and sports cars level good.
Right.
So I don't know that he had a really lucrative offer on the table. So I look at that and I think, I'm not saying you're wrong. It probably is a Pope thing. But I think if he had a $2 million European offer sitting on the table, I'd be shocked if that's the case and that he's coming back to school. Right?
Yeah, that's probably a fair point. But his whole line about, I've got the rest of my life to play professional basketball and I've got one more year to do something special here, that is clearly something that Pope said to him.
How about it's something probably I said
100,
to him?
Probably 100 times.
How about it's something I said to him, like the last couple of weeks of this podcast? Yoeli's been listening. Mark maybe. Pope? It's me. Maybe.
Okay. Sure, we're going to go ahead and take credit for that. That makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
That seems legit.
Yeah, totally legit. I don't see why you would even question that. So John Brame, that's at Johnny Dangerman on Twitter, says, it seems the return of Yoeli has people talking tourney. Is that realistic? Well, we will get to that later, John. But then he asks a subsequent question. Also, I'm at a Nats game tonight. Best ballpark food. Hot dog sandwich. That's terrible. Don't ever say that phrase again, John.
What else is he supposed to call it?
Or nacho soup. How about a hot dog? Like everybody in America calls it.
Wait a minute. Whose soup is that? Oh, nacho soup.
Oh, my gosh. You're terrible.
Wait a minute. That's my soup? No, it's nacho soup.
Okay. What's the best thing at Nats? I don't know.
This is a little old school, and I'm not even sure if they still have it there, but you got to get the Ben's Chili Bowl half smoke.
Okay. All right.
If I were there right now and it's been a while since I've been in Nationals Park, so I'm not sure they still have that in the stadium, but that's what I would go get.
Okay.
Put some chili on that bad boy.
All right. Good, solid advice. Jeremy Ashton asked this via email. If you want to email us, you can do it at risingshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, risingshoutpod@gmail.com. Jeremy says, does Yoli's decision to return to BYU for his senior season rather than play professionally in Europe indicate that there had been cultural issues with the program, and if so, that Pope has addressed whatever they were, and that we will not continue to affect the program, they will not continue the issues in the future. Sorry for the misread there. Matt, we'll break this up. Does this decision indicate that there were cultural problems in the program?
No.
Okay. Does this decision indicate if there were cultural problems in the program that Pope has fixed them?
Also, no.
Okay. I don't know if there were cultural problems in the program or not. But if there were, Pope can't have fixed them already because they haven't played a freaking game, right? So there's not a, you know, he can't have fixed something yet where now we're out of the woods. I think that's getting a little too excited too fast in the Pope era. I think there's a lot of that can be said about, you know, culture, and obviously you and I have talked about this before. It's really refreshing to see what Pope's bringing to the program. But you're saying it's not a culture thing, but you do think Pope is why he came back.
Yeah, I think Pope is why he came back. This decision by itself to come back doesn't tell you that there was a culture problem. It could be a part of it, but this does not answer that question for all of us. And the decision to come back also doesn't tell you that if there is one, Pope has fixed it all. I mean, at the most, it tells you that if there was a problem, he's convinced Yoli that he's fixed it.
Yeah,
but convincing Yoli that it's fixed and actually fixing it if there is a problem are two very different issues.
I completely agree with you on both accounts. Yeah, so, but we'll see. I mean, I'm excited. Non-related basketball question from Mark Barlow on Twitter. That's at Ruckus76. Who do you think gets the starting nod next season, Jesse Wade or Nick Emery? I don't know Nick Emery, though. I don't think starts next year.
Wait, you don't think Nick Emery starts is what you're saying? You don't know if it's Jesse Wade, but you're pretty sure it's not Nick.
Correct. I don't think Nick Emery starts next year. Now, I think one of Pope's biggest things is he's going to have to figure out if he can get Nick Emery back on track. Because Emery's season last year was a disaster, right? The worst season he's had at BYU. Started with that stupid suspension, stupid NCAA crap, right? And then he could not get it going. Was it injury? Was it distractions? Was it, I don't know. Was it the system? Was it the teammates? Was it the chemistry? I have no idea. But he was had glimpses of the former Nick Emery, but was quite frankly, probably didn't deserve nearly as many minutes as he was getting based on how he was actually performing last year, right?
Right.
So it'll be interesting. But as of today, based on what we saw last year, I'm going to assume he is not in the starting five come that first game of the season.
There's been such change with personnel, and a lot of these guys that have come in are like Pope's guys that I don't even know what to expect with the starting five at this point.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Matt. Well, it is time for Popcorn Popping, our segment, main discussion segment. All right. So we're going to do... This is going
to
be...
Sorry, I had to do it at least one time when you started talking.
All right. College football levels of hell.
Excellent. Let's do this.
So Ryan Crockett via email. Now, when did we originally do this? Like February?
I don't know. It was like
January, December? I don't know when it was.
1994. It was a long time ago.
Well, wait a second. With the wonders of technology, we can fix him. We can figure this out. Ryan Crockett. I can just look up his email and see when he emailed me.
Wow. Rubric. The wonders. So wait a minute. The search bar in your Gmail is the wonders of technology?
Yes. Yes, it is. Ryan Crockett emailed us this email originally on December 13th of last year. Wow. So it was last year.
That feels like a long time ago.
So we did something about how basically Texas sucks, right? And everybody hates them. And we said they were like at the lowest level of college football hell, right?
Yeah, something
along those lines. And he says, maybe it's the high school teacher in me, but I feel like we need a clearly defined rubric for these tiers of hell. Now, I had to look up that word. That's definitely.
You had to look up rubric?
I'm kidding. I'm just trying to be funny. Simply being hated by your surrounding schools or rivals doesn't seem to cut it for me, which seemed to be your reasoning for Texas this last episode 6 months ago. I feel like this has to involve some level of people outside your near vicinity hating you. Also, success on the field can't be the ultimate qualifier for hell, right? And we'll get to that. My answer is no. An undefeated Nebraska, I know we're asking a lot here, is never the double toothpicks. I'm interested in hearing your reasoning. When are you going to do an episode on this? Because I can't quite articulate mine. Why do I hate Ohio State but not Clemson or Michigan?
Because you're a reasonable human being.
Yeah. Why do Urban Meyer, Les Miles, and Gary Patterson drive me crazy, but not Nick Saban or Chris Peterson?
That one I don't understand.
We'll get to all these things here for a second.
Oh, we will. Oh, we will.
So I went studying, Matt, and reread all of Dante's Inferno. That's not true.
This is why it took us this long to answer. We wanted to really dive into the material.
Okay, so I decided not to go with, like, all of the circles of hell. But I created 5 circles of college football hell. Okay? And we will go through each one and define them, but I'm going to list them here. The first circle is rivals you don't hate. Okay? We'll get to that in a second. The next one is no good freeloaders. That's their sin. They're freeloaders.
Freeloaders.
The third one, their sin, is being extremely annoying.
But just annoying.
Just annoying. Because the next group, the fourth circle of hell, deep down into the bowels, getting into the bowels of hell.
Bowels, not a pleasant place to be.
No, it is not. Totally insufferable. Okay? And then the last one is
insufferable. Is that the opposite of sufferable?
That is correct.
Like flammable and inflammable mean the same thing?
Correct. Sufferable and insufferable, I think, mean the same thing.
All right.
And the last one is your complete hated rivals.
Yes.
Okay. And that is obviously going to vary. But let's go back up to the first circle and define
it. Okay.
So rivals you don't hate. What we're talking about here is teams that you play, doesn't have to be in your conference, but teams that you play frequently or played a lot in your history, you don't like them. You don't want them to win. You don't ever cheer for them. But they're not like your big rivals, right? They're just schools that you know, you play a lot, and when you play them, you really want to beat them. And maybe even for that week, it feels a little bit like a rivalry, and then it disappears the rest of the year, Matt. Does that make sense to you? Do you jive with that?
It makes sense to me. I am picking up what you're putting down.
So let's give some BYU examples. And again, this whole rubric here is going to be individual, meaning you will see something different when you look at these levels of hell than, say, I do. And Ryan Crockett is going to see something a little different. He's going to see Les Miles sitting in that.
Because he can, apparently he can stand Nick Saban.
Yeah, I like Nick Saban. So
you like Nick Saban?
Yes, I'm with Ryan. I don't.
So wait, is Nick Saban even in any of these 5 circles for you?
No, he's not in any of these.
This is insane.
What are you talking about? How can we be Patriots fan and root for the Patriots and hate Saban because he's basically Bill Belichick in college?
That's not why I hate Saban.
Why do you hate Saban?
I don't hate Saban because he's good. I don't hate Saban because he wins. That's not why I hate Saban. I don't like his attitude. I don't like his.
All right,
we'll
get to totally insufferable.
He's not quite complete rival, but maybe I don't know.
He's totally insufferable to you. It sounds like.
I see him as totally insufferable. We're
skipping categories. We'll get to that in a second. So Matt, BYU examples of rivals you don't hate. I would say back in the day, we haven't played him since the Mountain West days, but Air Force fits that category for me.
Yeah.
You know, you were rivals that week, right? But the rest of the year, you didn't, you know, you didn't care. You didn't get excited because they lost. Like, I get excited every time Utah loses, right? A piece of me, when they win, a piece of me dies. When they lose, a piece of me comes back to life, you know? So what are other BYU examples of rivals we don't hate?
Yeah, I don't mean to just keep going back to those same Mountain West days, but I like Colorado State.
Colorado State's a good one.
I felt like that was a rival, but other than the time we played them, I couldn't even tell you what they were doing on a given weekend.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, let's look at somebody else. Purdue, because we both went there for grad school. We followed the football team there. Who are rivals that Purdue doesn't hate, but they're rivals that week?
So I think Wisconsin is a good example of that.
Wisconsin. Yeah, that works. That works.
I feel like sometimes Illinois falls into that category.
What about somebody like Michigan? Or is that more in the totally insufferable if you're a Purdue fan?
If you're a Purdue fan, I think Michigan falls into that totally insufferable category. You've lost that game too many times.
Let's pick a random team, college football team. What about somebody like... I don't know. Let's pick a ACC team. What if you're Clemson? Who's a rival you don't hate?
Rival you don't hate if you're Clemson.
Is it Florida State? Do they hate Florida State? Right. It's not their big rival. Maybe
no,
they hate Florida State, or maybe Florida State's totally insufferable for everybody.
Maybe it's Syracuse.
Maybe. Okay, all right. What other school? What other random school? You got one you want to pick?
Well, I'm maybe Boston College and Syracuse are a good example there.
Yeah, yeah.
So another school I would pick. Let's look at Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Ooh.
Okay. So let's go into the Big 12 for just a second.
Okay. So rivals that they don't hate. Kansas State.
I was going to say Kansas, but probably Kansas.
No,
or Kansas
State. Isn't a rival you don't hate. They suck. They're terrible every year.
Too bad.
We'll see how the Mad Hatter does. But yeah, they're terrible.
All right, Kansas State. Kansas State, maybe.
I bet you Kansas State is everybody but Kansas's rival you don't hate, since at least in the Snyder era. Right?
Well, I feel like a lot of Texas schools probably feel that way about Texas Tech, much to Texas Tech's chagrin.
Yeah. They don't care enough to put them in the complete rivals or totally insufferable category.
Right. Like, well, okay, yeah. Fine. We'll humor you this week because we're playing you. But other than this, we really don't care.
We don't care about you. Okay. All right. That's fair. All right. Cool. So that's the first level. The second level is no good freeloaders. And the reason this is worse for me is I have this thing where I am sick and tired of college football teams that don't actually perform or do anything or provide, quite frankly, any value to college football that seem to have like a chip on their shoulder, right? And the best example from the old Mountain West WAC days is Wyoming, right? They're ticked when we leave. Why? Because they're going to get less money. And they thought they were big rivals of ours, which we didn't even – they weren't even in the rivals you don't hate because you didn't even care the week you played them.
Yep.
So no good freeloaders, Wyoming. My other national version is Vanderbilt.
Oh, Vanderbilt is the classic example.
Oh, my gosh. When they start chanting SEC at Vanderbilt, I'm just like, oh, my gosh, shut up. So annoying. You know, so – no good freeloaders. Any other example of no good freeloaders out there, Matt?
I'm going to say, as of recently, I'm going to go ahead and say Colorado. Colorado
Ouch.
Rode the University of Utah's coattails into the Pac-12 and have done nothing.
Yeah. And it's
right?
been...
The Pac-12 came looking for the University of Utah because they had had they put together a couple of decent seasons, and they needed somebody that was a geographical partner and wasn't BYU.
I love your backhanded compliment of Utah that they'd put together a couple of decent seasons. that was pretty good. I like that. Yeah, Colorado's a good one. I would say either of the Arizona schools in the Pac-12 as well are no good freeloaders, right? Why are they among the Power Five? Like, what right do they have to be in the Power Five? Like, none, right? They just happen to be at the right place at the right time. They have no history. Yeah, they've had a couple of years here and there where they're okay, right? So it's not as if they're probably less of a freeloader than Vanderbilt. At least with Arizona, you might be able to say, yeah, but they have something on basketball, right? Arizona State can't say that. Like, it's the same thing with Kentucky. They're like a freeloader in basketball, but they're an amazing, football, but they're an amazing basketball program, right?
Well, but there's a bunch of that in the SEC.
Yeah, sure, but not Vanderbilt. Right.
No, Vanderbilt's not doing anything for you.
Yeah, they're not. They're a complete freeloader. They're a complete freeloader.
What about Rutgers?
Oh yeah, Rutgers and Maryland both. Throw them both in there.
I don't know. Right? At least Maryland has historically had a decent basketball program. But Rutgers brings you nothing. Rutgers doesn't bring you New York City eyeballs. They don't bring you good basketball. They don't bring you good football. They bring you nothing.
What are you talking about? They brought that lucrative New York market to the Big Ten Network. Because everybody in New York City loves Rutgers football.
It's New York's team.
New
York's team. At you straight from New Jersey.
Straight from New Jersey, and nobody that works in Manhattan went there. But, hey, it's New York's team. All right. The next level is annoying, okay? These teams just annoy you. Or maybe it could be their coaches, to Ryan Crockett's standpoint. And, but they're not to the level of, say, Ohio State, which is kind of the banner carrier for the totally insufferable, which is the next one. I would take, for example, for me personally, as a BYU fan, San Diego State is my totally insufferable. I mean, my just annoying, sorry.
What I find fascinating about this is that is as far down as San Diego State sinks for you in the five levels of college football hell.
Well, they're not our complete rival. I mean, they're not to that.
But you're not going to go with totally insufferable?
I don't know. No. No. Because there are teams that I feel like I have stronger feelings towards than San Diego State. Like Stanford. You notice I didn't mention them in the just annoying.
I figured they were coming up next.
Yeah. So what are programs that either in the BYU context or a national context, Matt, that fit in that annoying category, or it could be coaches, to Ryan's point, because they're so connected, the personality of the coach is so connected in college football to the program itself.
For me, and I may lose some friends by saying this, but Texas A&M.
Oh!
It's just like, it with the whoop and the Charlie's Angels gun signal and the lack of cheerleaders.
They don't have cheerleaders?
No, it's all male yell leaders. There's no female cheerleaders.
That's fine.
At Texas A&M. That's fine. They don't have cheerleaders. And then anyway, just the whole the whole thing.
Yeah, you live in Texas. Texas A&M would not be on my list. I would guess in Texas, outside of Texas A&M fans, they're probably in that spot, right? I would say among most Big 12 fans, they're probably in that spot because they ditched the conference to go to the SEC, right? And some of this is that, right? Because
if you're UT, you're like, what were you left with, right?
Yeah. So they're, but for, gosh, for some of those Big 12 fans, they may be in the totally insufferable, not the just annoying, right?
Yeah. That's gonna be true.
What are national programs like? Is USC in this boat nationally, or are they farther down?
USC probably doesn't sink further than here.
Nationally. I mean, obviously, if you're UCLA or some of the other Pac-12 schools, you may feel differently. But I think you're right. I think USC's in this spot.
Where do you think nationally, like, I'm not saying I feel this way, but for most college football fans, where do you think Notre Dame fits?
Gosh,
I think there are people out there going to put Notre Dame in this category.
I think Notre Dame sits in this category for a lot of college football fans. Not for me personally. I don't.
No, they don't sit in here for me. I don't
have negative feelings for them. But I was also thinking, and for some college football fans, Notre Dame's going to be that next level or even the complete rivals, right? Because they have several pretty heated rivalries.
Right, but for a lot of Purdue fans, I would say that Notre Dame falls into the totally insufferable category.
At least that level. And then if from a just annoying perspective, I would think there's probably a good chunk of college football fans where Notre Dame's in that level. I think for a lot of people, Alabama's in this level. And obviously, some people are going to put them in the totally insufferable, but I think a lot of people recognize that they're Nick Saban's great and they're a great program, and they just, you look at them and you go, but I just wish somebody else would win, right? They're annoying me. And I wish they would just have a couple of years of mediocrity to chill them out, you know?
I was just going to say, I think I figured out why Nick Saban's in this category for me.
Okay.
It's the pretending like it's us against the world and we're going to play with a chip on our shoulder business. I understand
Nobody
that he's doing this stuff. I understand that he does this to motivate his players, but the whole, and then getting in the press conference and saying, you need to stop talking about how good we are because we're not that good and you're getting in these players' heads. This whole thing, you are that good, Saban. You are that good.
Yeah.
You've got the best athletes. You get the best athletes in the country. You are just a better coach than, and you are a better coach than in almost every game you're in.
Yep. But why don't we hate
so
Dabo
stop
Sweeney?
With the act. Stop with the act.
But why is it like nobody except for maybe some rivals in the ACC? Nobody's going to put Clemson in any of these.
Which is crazy, right? Because Dabo Sweeney is like sneaky insufferable, right? Like he's like your neighbor who comes over, like, hey, what's going on? You know, kind of.
But he's not insufferable. Like,
seems
nobody's
totally
annoyed.
Harmless.
No, maybe some annoyed. People are annoyed because they've been good for a bunch of years in a row now. Nobody's putting him in totally insufferable. I don't think anybody is putting him in that category outside of ACC rivals. I mean, I might be wrong. Maybe there's some SEC fans that are getting annoyed by somebody from the ACC challenging
sure,
their supremacy.
South Carolina fans probably feel like
South Carolina fans. Yeah.
They're like, the guy's so fake. Like, I don't want to, you know what I mean?
I just think, all right, so just annoying. I think we've covered that one. Now, totally insufferable. To me, like I said before, the banner carrier for this is Ohio State. And no, I will not put the in front of it because it's stupid. It's Ohio State. They are the program, and it just – I felt that way before Urban Meyer became their coach, and Urban Meyer solidified it for me, you know, and it's not going to change that he's – now that he's gone, I don't think. Not for me and for a lot of college football fans. And Big Ten, they're in this category for everybody not – called Ohio State, at least totally insufferable, and then some of them it's in that hated rival category. Matt, who else is in that group
in the totally insufferable crowd?
Yeah.
I had somebody pulled up for this.
What about Michigan?
I don't know if Michigan falls that deep for me. You know, I thought about that one, but
if you're in college basketball, I can tell you right now, it's Duke. Duke's though I don't feel that way about Duke. That is the banner carrying member in college basketball, right? We could do a whole show, we could do a whole segment. I mean, on this version of college basketball because it's different and the same, right? Some of it's the same, but a lot of it's different. What about we mentioned Notre Dame might be.
You know, I was gonna throw out there is Miami.
Miami's definitely in this, 100%. The U, because
oh my god,
no
why
other.
Do you get to dominate? Why do you get to own the letter U?
You
the
don't.
University is like half the schools on this list.
I'm going to defend Utah for the University of Utah, not the state. The state's great. University. I'm going to defend them for like the only time ever, and I've done this. I think
totally makes sense for the University of Utah to own.
They should be the U. They are the U. It's like
that just makes sense.
They're the U of U. Everybody's the University of, except for like we did this a couple years ago. We discussed this. There's like three schools in FBS that aren't the University of or something something University. So to call yourself the U, and especially to emphasize University when you're at Miami, right? That seems a little. You're not even the only Miami that's a university.
Well, and then like you watch these 30 for 30s on like the heyday for Miami they got in all that trouble, and all those guys feel like they were so picked on. It's like, guys, you're not picked on. Like
You
were all those things happened.
You were insufferable. I mean, and they it's probably unfair to the current program because I don't know that they're still this way.
But the fans are.
Okay, so totally insufferable. And then complete rivals. That one's easy. That's personal. Those are the teams that you play either every year or frequently. That it's on all the time. Right, you don't like this team all the time. For BYU, it's Utah. I don't know that BYU has another one.
Not like that.
Some schools do. Some schools have multiple, like Michigan has Ohio State and Michigan State. Right? Notre Dame probably has three.
Mm-hmm.
Stanford for sure. USC. And then the Notre Dame fans don't feel – no, and then Michigan, right? Because there's the whole history of Michigan back in the day saying we're not going to let a Catholic school into the Big Ten. Like, so there's some animosity there. As you look through this, though, as we talk to some of the coaches that Ryan was talking about, Les Miles, does he sit in totally insufferable for you or just annoying?
Just annoying.
He doesn't sit in anywhere for me. I never cared one way or the other with Les Miles. I find him kind of entertaining. Urban Meyer, we already discussed. What about Gary Patterson?
Gary Patterson's in a rivals you don't hate category for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he beat up on us a few times.
Oh, yeah, he did.
We had a good time joking about him pulling up his pants. But, you know, I don't feel any animosity towards him. I mean, he's a pretty good football coach.
Yeah, he is a good football coach. What about Chris Peterson? He's not even in the rivals you don't hate for me.
Nah, he's barely on my radar.
Yeah, I really respect him as a coach. So to Ryan's point, is it just personality between some of these coaches that put him, you know, if you take Chris Peterson, he's been highly successful. He's beaten the crap out of BYU several times in multiple locations. And so why isn't he in the annoying or totally insufferable for us?
I think it's personality. I think that it's the way they do it. Like Urban Meyer fits into that fifth level category for me, just because when I think he was at the University of Utah, he didn't understand or respect the history of the rivalry between BYU and Utah. For him, it was all about just getting people riled up and just borrowing phrases and language and approaches that from the Ohio State Michigan rivalry.
Yeah. Okay.
The whole team down south and all this. That's what Michigan calls Ohio State. Right, all this stuff he just stole. Like I don't know.
Oh, man,
I just,
you're fired up, man.
I can't stand Urban Meyer. Yeah, I want Urban Meyer to lose any football game he ever coaches again, because we all know he's going to show up and coach again.
Of course he is.
You know what I mean?
Already like, done this. Plus, he went to Florida, which is like, you know what I mean? Like already totally insufferable territory before he got there, and then he went to Ohio State, which was already totally insufferable category before he got there. So it's pretty crazy. Stanford, where does Stanford sit for you in this? They're totally insufferable for me. I can't stand them. Cal is in the same boat for me.
Their fans are totally insufferable for me.
Okay. Okay.
Like, and mostly the basketball fans.
Okay.
I don't have anything against the coach. I don't have anything against the coach.
I don't have anything against the coach.
Yeah, and there's no players that have gone through Stanford that I'm like, ah, that guy.
Elway? Were you an Elway, anti-Elway or pro-Elway? You're probably too young to remember him in college.
Yeah, but the whole thing about, like, I'm not going to play for this team or that team. I don't know. I have real mixed emotions on that.
He was his generation's Eli Manning, except he was actually a good quarterback.
He was good and actually could command that type of approach. Yeah. Eli Manning, anyway, he got to command it, right?
But he got to command it.
On one level, these guys have a point, right? Like, why do I have to go to that team?
The system's weird, right? I mean, the pro system's weird. It's this closed system, and you get drafted, and you have to go. You know, you and I, when we graduated from college, did not, you know, get forced into a job, or you can't work in this industry, right? I mean, so it's a weird deal, but the flip side is, I don't know it's the wrong way to do it.
Yeah, I don't have a better solution, right?
So, all right. So,
but
so,
yeah, but I, for me, Elway doesn't fall down to that level.
Me either.
Yeah, but there's like sometimes those fans from Stanford drive me bonkers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Cal, the whole band thing drives me nuts, right?
Yeah, but we got Marshawn Lynch driving the golf cart. I mean, that's funny.
So anyway, anything else on this? I mean, I feel like this holds together. I know we're gonna have listeners go, wait a second, what are you guys even talking about? But Ryan and others who were interested in this, the three people that were interested in us doing this, hopefully it's been an entertaining 25 minutes as we discussed it.
Well, but Jen, one thing I did miss that I wanted to say that I had written down here was in
Oh,
the
yes,
totally
please.
insufferable category.
Yes.
I think the entire country would put the SEC in that category, the entire conference.
I
Because here
think
it
so.
just means more.
It's just it's
And you
it's
can't handle SEC speed, but neither can Vanderbilt, who is in our conference.
I'm with you. I think I fit I would be in that I would be in that camp. I'd throw the whole conference in there. I think chanting your conference name is
So
insane to me.
so
Right,
strange.
it's so weird. Like nobody else does it because it's like if you're Alabama, you don't do it, right? Like, what the freak does you think Saban cares? Do you think Nick Saban sits there and goes, "Wow, I'm really good, glad to see George is doing," only in that it helps his strength of schedule.
He only likes the fact that there is this perception that that top to bottom SEC is that much better than everybody
Sure,
else.
sure.
And I don't even believe, like, sure, top to bottom, like the SEC beats out the American Conference for sure, right?
Oh,
But if
yeah.
you really go top to bottom, I mean, maybe they are the best conference. Maybe they are, right? You
Yeah,
could probably make that argument.
I think they have been.
But the gap is not the Grand Canyon wide, guys. Like, they're just another conference.
Well, and who cares? There's no award for the best conference, right? Nobody's
Except for getting
playing.
two teams into the playoff.
No one's playing for their conference. It's part of this. It's part
I
of this
see.
thing. Like, yeah,
Jeez.
I mean, if you get two teams into the playoff, that'd be cool for them, right? Oh my gosh, it'll be not. That's. Everybody's doomsday scenario outside of the SEC, right? Like, then it's broken, and that we're going to go to eight teams. That's the only good benefit to me. Would be maybe that's the catalyst that gets you at eight teams.
Yeah, I
Anyway,
guess.
yeah, that could be. All right. Well, anyway, that is our college football circles levels of hell.
I feel like this is going to generate some discussion, and we're going to have to come back to it.
I'm 100% certain it will. All right, Matt,
All
our
right.
game tonight is about the BYU basketball team, and it's another round of buy or sell.
All right, let's do this.
It's the Yoli edition of buy or sell. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Buy or sell, BYU wins second place next season in the West Coast Conference regular season.
Buying it.
I am also going to buy that. All right. Gary Payne, we'll throw in a little tweet bag question here. The
Tweet bag.
aforementioned Gary Payne at Fast Break GP, because Sweeney
The
thought it was just
aforementioned.
he thought it was just Gary, Justin, and relatives of ours. Some
And Joel and Kate.
and Joel. Yeah, that's right. That's right. We've expanded quite a bit. In Return of Yoli, what is the likelihood that we blow up the WCC Death Star, and can Jedi Master Pope handle Fuel Vader? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag painbag. So Matt, let
Fuel
me rephrase
Vader.
that. Buy or sell BYU winning either the regular season West Coast Conference title or beating Gonzaga in the conference tournament to claim either one or other part of the WCC crown. And by the way, masterful tweet bagging. I'm selling that.
I'm selling this, yeah.
I
And
think
I
the
think I also,
likelihood's
while I
better.
do love the Star Wars reference, I also have to sell Fuel Vader because I just don't hate him that much.
I don't. If we did the college, where's Gonzaga sit for you in that, if the college basketball levels of hell?
Gonzaga? Oh, geez, that's tough.
They're not
That's
in
actually.
anything for that meet. I don't hate them at all. Even the week we play them, I'm not like, oh, I can't stand them.
Would you place them in the rivals you don't hate category?
No, I wouldn't even put them in that.
They're not a rival. They're not. You don't see them as a rival.
They're a rival, but I don't get like fired up about it. Like when we played Air Force, I couldn't stand our stupid. Like all week, I'm like grumbling about how dumb their offense is, and it sucks that we have to play some stupid, option team only once a year. You know what I mean? Like you'd grumble. I just have so much respect for what Few's done building that program.
He's more like a Palpatine.
Yeah, he's more like
right. A Palpatine. Like he's kind of the mastermind,
Emperor Few.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's an interesting question. All right.
Let the anger flow through you.
So buy or sell BYU next year making the NCAA tournament?
Buying it. Hand me the blue goggles now.
I am
buying it.
I'm selling.
Oh, stop it. I've already put money on it.
Okay, let me ask you a question right now. Did we make the NCAA tournament last year?
You know the answer to that question. It hurts to bring it up.
Did we make the NIT last year?
No, you're just trying to hurt my feelings.
So what's the change? Jake Toulson?
Holy Yoli, man.
No, Yoli was on this freaking team that just stunk, right?
Yeah, come on, man. Get excited, will you?
I'm excited about Pope coming on.
Coach named Pope.
I just look at it and go, outside of Toulson, what? And maybe that's enough because
we got the whack offensive player of the year.
And that might be enough, quite honestly. It might be enough, and Yoli getting a little bit better, and heck, if Emory could become 85% of the guy he was, you know.
Toulson is not the player he was when he left.
Oh, no. Toulson's good.
Right? This is a real roster, right? This is not your last year's Cougars.
I know, but...
And there was something... Listen, I don't know if it's a cultural issue. I'm not saying that Rose was doing anything wrong, but, like, that team got into like a weird funk.
Oh, terrible.
Right? And I don't know how else to describe it. Okay.
Yeah.
That team, something weird. They got into something weird. And I feel like, you know, and I'm not going to go back on what I said and say, oh, yo, Pope is like totally changed the culture of the program, because I think it's too early to say. But he's definitely breathed some life into that building that was not there 6 months ago.
Well,
it
was like 1 + 1 = 1.5 last year. That's how I felt. Like, The sum was not equal to the parts. Now I'm just throwing out phrases, but you know what I mean?
It's like weird math.
I felt like last year the team should have been better based on the roster they had. Not that
we all felt that way.
I thought they were NIT minimum, and they weren't, right? They got maybe snubbed a little bit from the NIT, but if I were the NIT, if you're a bubble NIT team, you're not great. Right, so you don't have any right to like stand up and be like, "We got snubbed by the NIT." It's like,
Yes, and if you get snubbed by the NIT, you probably just shouldn't talk about
it. Yeah. So anyway, okay, buy or sell Yoli as the WCC Defensive Player of the Year. He mentioned that in his press conference. I think that's because that's one of the knocks on him from a pro scouting standpoint is defense. So Matt, buying or selling Yoli as the Defensive Player of the Year?
I'm selling that. I think he's going to come back and work on his defense, but that's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah. I think he'll improve, and I quite frankly, I don't think a lot of the players' defensive efforts from last year are going to work on a Pope coach team. not if they want to play. Right. Buy or sell Yoli shooting more three-pointers?
I'm buying that.
Oh, I'm buying that too. I'm not sure it's a good idea, but I am buying that he's going to shoot more three-pointers.
I think it goes right along with the defensive player thing. Like, he's coming back so that he can put together – so he can build up on his skills and put together some more film to take another run at the NBA.
Yeah,
so
that's what everybody wants. That worries me a little bit.
Chicks dig the long ball, right? They want the three-point shot.
Chicks dig the long ball. What is this, the 1990s in baseball? So last one, not Yoli-related. Jake Toulson is the leading scorer next year for the BYU Cougars. Buy or sell?
Buying it.
That's tough, but I'm going to buy it. I mean, I think him and Yoli are going to be neck and neck for that all year.
I think we're going to love ourselves some Jake Toulson next year.
Yeah, I think so too. Let's do our final shout, Matt. So the last thing we're going to do is, again, from Jeremy Ashton via email. He says... Actually, this may be a better email for the new Shore format. I was recently going through my box of childhood memories when I found my mint-conditioned Vi Sikahema rookie card. Think
yes.
It just increased in value at all? I don't think getting named a Journal Authority necessarily increases your rookie card value, but I don't know.
So he said it's in mint condition. Is it signed?
He didn't say, so I'm guessing not.
We need to know these things. How am I supposed to place the value on it?
Not long ago, I told my wife I'd sell all my baseball cards to get a new TV, only to find out my childhood investment was pretty near worthless. How about a game suggestion? Name what item I could auction this card for. I love the game suggestion. We played a game already, but we'll do another one. What could you auction this card? The Vaisakama, mint condition, by the way. Vaisakama, we're going to assume not signed, not autographed, though I'm not sure that increases the value by very much. Punt returners are not necessarily the ones that really drive card values. But before we get to that, Matt,
kind of a niche. This would be a niche collector's item.
All these cards that I own, I'm in the same thing with Jeremy. I thought someday I'm going to sell these for tons of money, and I've got a couple cards that are worth hundreds, right? So I've got a couple that maybe Jeremy does not, but most what I have, 99.9%.
Hold on. Is this your humble brag? Like, well, you know, I do have a couple
of
cards.
No, I just lucked out,
Jeremy,
right?
Like, not. Like, my cards are worth hundreds of dollars.
So our brother Mark, I was there the day he bought two Michael Jordan rookie cards at the card store with him. They are worth quite a bit now, right? And I don't remember what he bought them for, but it wasn't a ton. And one of the biggest regrets of my life is I had enough money to buy. They had a third one at that store, and I didn't buy it because it seemed like too much money, right? But I have a couple of pretty decent cards from the early 80s, you know. But again, nothing big. It's not a lot of money. And if you add them all up together, is it enough to get a nice television? Maybe, right? And I thought, like Jeremy, I thought, like, I might pay for my kids' college with it. Now I might buy their books in the first semester. Is that still
a thing? You might buy a book.
Is that still a thing? Do they buy books now in college? Is it all electronic? I don't even know.
I've been out of college
a long time, and I don't have kids that are even close to college.
Buying books.
So what could you auction this card for? Like,
the Vaisakama card.
What could you get in barter, in trade?
So I think you could get half a pair of really nice socks. Like, some really, like, stylish ones with stripes. You know? Match a tie you have or something. Maybe you maybe get the left sock. You might have to come up with something else to get the rest of the set. But
well, all right. I'm going to tweet this out. You know what I found in my I think it was almost the same day he sent this email to us, was I found a Tom Holmo rookie card.
Stop it.
I have.
You just, that's it. We can get the other sock.
Yeah, we can totally get the other sock. And I'll tweet out a picture. I took a picture of it off my phone. I meant to tweet it out already. And maybe it wasn't the rookie card. Actually, it might have been like his third or fourth season. I can't remember.
See, that's not going to be worth as much.
So we may not get the whole sock.
We may need something else to complete the set here.
Yeah, we may need something else. But I thought that was hilarious. I was looking, my wife were preparing to move, and we were going through, like, what are you going to do with all these cards? And I don't have it in me to throw them out, even though, like, I'm thumbing through some of this, and I'm like, 99% of these cards are worthless.
Yep,
they're absolutely worth. They're not.
But you are not going to throw them out. You're gonna schlep those things around everywhere you go for the rest of your life.
It's because of all those stories of people throwing out Ty Cobbs, right? And Babe Ruth rookie. You know what I mean? That are now worth $100,000. And the thing is, those stories are never going to repeat. They print too many cards and everybody keeps them.
And, like, is there something that's going to happen between now and the next 20 years with Tom Holmo that's going to increase the value of that card?
Nothing. No. No, but I will say, quite frankly, they should put out a series, BYU should put out a series of player trading cards of all of his Halloween costumes.
The Halloween costumes are on point. He knows what he's doing there.
I'm just
the
saying
man has a gift.
That could be worth something. Well, anyway, thanks everybody for downloading and listening this week. We are off next week, but in 2 weeks, I'm not sure which one, but we're going to tackle one of our six seasons. And by the way, we didn't mention this earlier. I meant to mention it. 1980 beat 2006 in our poll. So 1980
garbage.
Football. Hey, we decided to live by the people.
Garbage. You guys are all dead to me.
Not all of them. Like 40% of them voted for 2006.
Garbage. And 60% of them voted for garbage.
So
I'm going to complain the entire episode we do 1980.
Oh, you're I'm not even going to have you on.
The metric I'm going to use to compare them is going to be 2006.
All right, fine. So the six teams will
this
be...
This argument will not die. It will not go quietly into the night.
Oh, my gosh. We have three football teams, 1980, 1984, and your beloved 1996. We have two basketball teams, 1980-81, 2010, 2011, and then the 1999 men's volleyball team rounds out our top six. I'm not sure which one, but in 2 weeks, we will be back where our popcorn popping segment will be about that team. So,
fantastic.
Well, anyway, if you enjoyed the show, let us know either on Facebook, facebook.com/writingashout, on Twitter, or via email. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/writingashout to do that. Again, thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!
And 1980 is better than 2006.
Let's just talk about this when we get there.
Both the year and the field. You were born in 1980, for heaven's sakes.
And that was the highlight of the year. You want to make a show about that?